So yeah, so today we're going to be hearing about Saul's conversion. I've asked my mum to read the passage for us today. So do you want to go ahead with that? Okay.
Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
Amen. So yeah, so for the last few weeks, I've been really looking into who was Saul before that he met Jesus. You know, who was he? And after sort of really, you know, some deep prayer and after reading, you know, God's word and really getting into that passage, you know, what God told me and what I learnt from it was that Saul was this religious man, okay? So he was a man that went to church. He was a man that, you know, that really knew his Bible well. So it was the Old Testament back then, but this man knew his Bible. I'd imagine in today's terms, he would be someone that would run, like, cell groups and it'd be a big part of a church, should we say. Now, he was a man that also... he was a man that was quite well respected. You know, it's this guy, you know, I'd imagine he was quite a well-dressed guy, you know. He had quite a bit of authority, you know, so that's what I was picking up. But then as I read sort of deeper into it, and when you go into Saul's story, you know, Saul was all of those things, and he was a man that actually believed that he feared God, yeah. But when I look deeper into it, this guy was a murderer, yeah. That's the facts. So this guy that, you know, wrote most of the New Testament, he was probably one of the, you know, one of the greatest men of God, maybe some would probably say, you know, certainly one of the biggest evangelists that probably Christ that we've ever seen. And this guy was a murderer. And not, you know, and it just, it sort of blew my mind, really, you know, that, you know, who was he murdering? And, you know, and as I look deeper, you know, this guy was a guy that was murdering God's people, you know, not even just random people. This guy was murdering actually God's people. And he was the sort of guy that would smash people's front doors down, go inside, he would tie them up, the husband and wife, and take them off for them to be killed. So this is the guy that we are, you know, looking at here. This is Saul. So he's got all this religious stuff going on. You know, I'd imagine he was praying. He's reading God's word. And yet, he's killing God's people. So what I wanted to look at is, you know, is how does our own life sort of compare to Saul's and, you know, and just see what God's saying about it. Now, there's probably people here today that, you know, probably believe, you know, just like Saul did, that he knew God. You know, there's probably people here today, you know, that, you know, go to Bible studies and, you know, that come to church regularly, you know, that, like Saul, also thought that they knew Jesus. Yeah? So this is where God's taking this. But also, these same people that are going to maybe, you know, church every Sunday and, you know, Bible studies and they're reading the Bible, like Saul, they don't even know who God is. Yeah? They don't even know who God is. Now, Saul didn't have that relationship with Jesus. Yeah? Saul did not have that relationship with Jesus. He thought he was doing God's work. Now it's just, you know, for us today, you know, the Bible's quite basic. When you look at the Bible, we can go deep and we can look into it, but it's really quite basic. I mean, this relationship which Jesus offers, you know, through salvation, you know, there's scriptures that come to me like, we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, why would God say that? Why would God say that to you, to me? Why would he say that? There's obviously something going on here, isn't there? Why would he say, what, with fear? And that's our God. That's the God that has delivered me, yeah? He's delivered a lot of people in here. He answers a lot of your prayers, yeah? You come and you worship him, hands in the air. The same God is saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what that God is saying, yeah? So it just was maybe for some of us, you know, God just saying, you know, let's get a bit deeper and just really see what's going on here. Now, my point three was, you know, why did God call, or why did he want to save Saul? You know, why? What, you know, is something that, you know, sort of sprung up to me straight away is why did God call Saul? You've got this, you know, you've got this man that he's not just killing people, you know, he's killing God's people. He's got people praying to Jesus, and the next minute their door's being flung off, and they're being tied up, took away, and they're being killed. So why would God save him? Why would God call him? Why would God show himself to him? Why? You know, and I think this is where that we really, you know, we get a glimpse here of who God really is, yeah? Because we can come to church, we can do this, we can do that, but it's only when we read the word and get deep into it that we really get a glimpse here of who God really is. And, you know, I think that what God, you know, here is showing us is that, you know, you don't need to be holy, yeah? You don't need to be, you know, good. You don't need, you know, you don't even need to be religious, you know. God came and saved Saul. When my mum read that message, you know, the first bit was that while Saul was still screaming out murderous threats, it wasn't while Saul was coming to Bible study. It wasn't while Saul was coming to the Jubilee on Sunday with his hand in the air seeking God. Is this, you know, what's going on here? And, you know, oh, you know, there's a few people that are saying Jesus and this and that, and I'm reading the word, and then Jesus reveals himself to him. No. This is God went to Saul whilst he was screaming murderous threats. So while Saul was in the middle of his sin, the middle of his sin, at his worst is when God stepped in. When God chose to save him. Yeah? When God chose to save him. Yeah? We still get to reason why. So why did he choose to save this man? Well, biblically, you know, we know that God doesn't want one to perish. Yeah? That's what the word says. God does not want one to perish. Yeah? So that's why that he showed himself to Saul. That's why he saved Saul. He doesn't want one to perish. And God loved him. You know, God loved him. Yeah, God loved him. He didn't love the sin. He didn't love all the stuff Saul was doing. But he loved him. He loved Saul. Yeah, just as you will love your children. God loved Saul. He loved him. He created him. He created how he looked. He gave him the inspiration, probably how he dressed. Yeah, how he spoke, the tone of his voice. Yeah, what he liked to eat, what he didn't like to eat. God loved him. Yeah, God loved him, really, really loved him, and you can, you know, and this is just a glimpse of who God is, you know, this God that could have just let, you know, we all know, those who are born again in here, we know what the destination is for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, yeah, we know that, we all know that, Yeah, people don't want to preach on it. Yeah, people don't want to preach it because, oh, don't want to say the word hell. But we know the truth. Yeah, we all know the truth, those that are born again. And why didn't God, this God, just let him perish? Why didn't God just think, do you know what? You're killing my people, my people. It's not, you know, forget the sins that me and you do. This guy is killing people that are worshipping Jesus, that are accepting him. He's killing them. Why didn't God just think, do you know what? Okay, we'll see. You know, you carry on, and at some point, you're going to stand in front of me so I can judge you, so you can pay for that sin. You know, but the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, he has plans to prosper us, to give us hope in the future. That's everyone. It's everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. Everybody. Yeah? We're all sinners. We're all sinners, yeah? Everybody. He has a plan for all of us. He had a plan for Saul. Yeah? He had a plan for Saul. That's why he saved Saul. He had this plan for Saul. This amazing, amazing plan for Saul. You know, Saul was in the middle of this horrendous sin. You know, today we'd probably call him a mass murderer, wouldn't we? That's what we'd probably call him. That's the truth of it. Yeah? But God, in his mercy and grace, had a plan for him. Just like he has a plan for us, you know? For each one of us, God has a plan. Also, the Bible says that Saul was chosen. He's my chosen instrument, is what God actually said. He's my chosen. How? And I was sitting there and I was thinking, how can this man that is killing God's people, that is, Paul said himself, I was the worst of sinners. The worst. I was the worst of sinners, you know. People, some of you know my testimony in here. You know, some of you know what, you know. And yet God had chosen him. You know, God had chosen him. You know. Again, we go back to, do we really know? Do we really know who God is? Do we really know who Jesus is? Yeah? Because this man that was doing all this stuff and had done all this stuff against God's people, yeah? Forget it, just a sin. It was actually against God's people. God had a plan for him. And just like he's got a plan for all of us, and God had chosen him. And I imagine there's people in here that God has chosen to do specific things as well, yeah? Now, there's probably people here today, I'd imagine, that are probably sitting there that have, you know, we're all sinners. And I'd imagine there's people here today that are probably sitting there thinking, you know what, I've done this or I've done that, and, you know, God couldn't use me. God, you know, God, there's no way that God loves me, you know. There's no, I don't know who God is. You know. And I'm coming in today to tell you, listen, God does love you. Yeah? Just like he loves Saul. And he's crying out to you. And he's revealing himself to you. Through whoever he's choosing to. But I know that God is calling everybody. Yeah? He's calling everybody. And how do I know that? Because God's word tells me he does not want one to perish. Yeah? That's it. He does not want to perish. So we know he's calling everybody. He's calling everybody. And you know, there's probably people in here like God had chosen Saul for a specific purpose, yeah? Now, Saul's specific purpose, as we know, is most of that. That was Saul. That was that sinner, that man that was killing people. His purpose was most of that book, yeah? It was most of that book that you pick up and you read, yeah? Now, I'd imagine there's people in this congregation that are chosen, you know? Future preachers, future carers, you know? Future evangelists that are in this congregation. People that God wants to use. Yeah? God wants to use you. Yeah? He wants to open your eyes. He wants to save you. And he wants to use you. Yeah? You're chosen. Yeah? If you're sitting here today, it's a no coincidence. Yeah? God wants to choose you, use you. That's it. Just like Saul. He came to save him. He called him, saved him, used him. Yeah? And this Bible that is 2,000 years old is the same today. Yeah? We're all different souls. All these characters in this Bible, we're living it out now. We're living it all out now. It's happening around you. Yeah? There's people that are being saved in front of you. There's people that lives are being changed. There's people which are being delivered, you know, from all sorts of sin. Yeah? All sorts of sin. You know, and I just felt just God say, look, you know, just tell my people, yeah? It doesn't matter what they have done, yeah? What they have done, tell them, tell my people, yeah? Tell my people, and tell my people that I love them, and tell my people that I want to use them, yeah? Because we're in a fallen world. We're in a fallen world, yeah? And, you know, where is God? He's in us, yeah? Where is the kingdom of God? It's in here. This is where the kingdom of God is. Yeah? You know, we've all got, those that are saved, we've all got Jesus living inside of us. Yeah? He's all inside of us. He's you know, when you walk down Shepherd and High Street and you go for a coffee, Jesus is inside of you. Yeah? He's inside of you. Spark a conversation up. See where God takes it. Don't be scared. Don't be bold. Satan, yeah, is trying to zip you up. Yeah, zip you up. If you know the truth, if you're born again, if you're saved, you know the truth. You know where your neighbour's going to go if they don't know Jesus Christ. Yeah, that is the truth. Now, God is calling us to be bold. He's chosen all of us for specific things in the church, specific things to do. But he's commanded all of us to preach the gospel. Not me, not Paul Baker, not Dave to get up here. Not for, oh, you know, this person's good. We know they're bold. No. You are all commanded to get out there and preach the gospel. Yeah? To preach the gospel. Yeah, so the last point I've got is what the sermon's called. Who are you, Lord? And it's what we've just really just gone through. But I think it's so important, you know. That, you know, when God called Saul, he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yeah, and do you know what Saul said? Who are you, Lord? Who are you? So this man, this religious man, doing all this religious stuff, he's got some authority in the world, he's going here, there, Bible study, reading the Bible, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Didn't even have a clue. Jesus is there in front of him. Hello, big flashing light there. I'm here. Who are you? Lord? Yeah? So how do we know who? You've got to read it. You know, this church has got hundreds of these. I've got them in the boot of my car. I've got about 100. Read it. You'll know who Jesus is. You'll hear. He's there. He's written. Yeah? He'll speak to you like he speaks to me, like he speaks to my wife, like he speaks to the other born-again people in here. Read the Bible. It will tell you what's going on. Open your eyes, yeah? Open your spiritual eyes. Pray. I get up every morning with my wife. We get on our knees at 6:30 in the morning, and we pray to the Heavenly Father, yeah? We pray that he opens the eyes of the blind, yeah? Opens the eyes of the blind, yeah? Doesn't have to mean not physically, but in spiritual eyes. They can see where we are, spinning in space, not held up on nothing, just spinning. Yeah? It's a miracle what's going on around you. Our bodies, amazing. Yeah? So I think it's something that we should all be asking ourselves, really, is who are you, Lord? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? You know? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Yeah, I am Jesus, the one, this great man. He thought he was this great man of God. Doing all this stuff, running around, volunteer work probably, you know, doing this for the church, that for the church, all this stuff. Everyone thinks he's amazing, walking around. Didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus stood in front of him, didn't even know who he was. You know, we have to be so careful. We go back to that scripture. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, that's what God is saying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah? The Bible says that not all who call on Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah? Why would God tell you that? Why would God say that in his word as well? So why would God say that to us? It's not me saying that. It's not me saying this. This is what God's saying. Why would he say that to us? Why would he say that to us? Yeah? I think we'll just end on, you know, on a bit of the on a gospel, really. And that is, you know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. You know, all of us. You know, there's not one, God says. There's not one that is any good. Yeah? So the people that you think, you know, the really nice people, you know. Yeah? Really lovely people, you know. Yeah? Not one. Not one. There's not one that's good enough. Not one that's good enough. And the Bible says that sin, yeah, that sin. And the Bible tells us that sin can be a thought, yeah? A thought. That thought. That sin separates you from your creator, yeah? That sin separates you, yeah? And the Bible says the only way back to God, yeah? The only way back to God is through Jesus' blood, yeah? It's the only way. There isn't any other way. Yeah, there's no other way. There's not this. It's not, oh, let's go and do a bit of volunteer work and, you know, let's do this and let's do that. No, God, not interested. God's word says, your good deeds are like filthy rags to me. Filthy rags. Not interested. Not interested. God sent his son. Yeah? Sacrificed. Died for us. Died for me. Died for you. Yeah, he died for everybody. Everyone. He died for everybody. But we have a choice. Or whether or not we want to accept that. So I would just say to you today, look, if you thought you knew God, or if you want to know God, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, come forward today. Yeah? Yeah? Come and find out who Jesus really is. Because he's there, he's calling every, like I said, he's calling everybody. Yeah? He doesn't want one to perish, not one. There's no one in the whole world, all the way across the world, there's not one person that God wants to perish. Yeah? He loves every single person. Doesn't love the sin, but he loves every person. So I hope that has been of some sort of benefit to you guys today. And yeah, God bless you all.